This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, you might be surprised to hear that the Wildlife Trusts are getting together with the Royal Horticultural Society to ask us to help flies. Yes, you heard right. Not bees, not butterflies, although obviously keep on doing all the good stuff you're doing for them, but flies. But not any old flies, hoverflies. Like bees and butterflies, they are important pollinators, and like them, hoverflies need our help. To find out more about these underappreciated masters of disguise, I spoke to the Royal Horticultural Society Senior Wildlife Specialist, Helen Bostock. Helen, welcome to Environment Matters. So how do we know a hoverfly when we see one? Because they do want us to mistake them for other things, don't they?
Yes, some of them have very cunning mimicry, which makes us think that this harmless, stingless insect might actually be something more than what we take them for first sight. Many of them will have a disguise, something like yellow and white stripes, which might make a predator think that they are a wasp or a bee, which does have a sting. Or they might actually be mimicking another type of creature, things like a bumblebee or maybe a hornet. But actually, one of the easiest ways for us to recognise a hoverfly is not to do with its appearance, but actually to do with how it flies. And the clue is in the name, hoverfly. So if you see this wonderful little insect that has this sort of zigzag motion of flight, each time it sort of moves across the zigzag, it sort of stops and hovers a little bit like a small hawk. And that pattern and ability to hover in the air is really typical of hoverflies. So that's the first clue. If you maybe see it land and can get a little bit closer to have a look, then you might spot that some other features. First of all, it is a true fly. So that means that instead of having the four wings that bees have and wasps have, they actually have two wings. So this is one pair of wings. They haven't completely done away with the other pair of wings. They do have a second set, but they've been reduced through evolution to what are called halteres. So these are two little, almost like drumstick type features that hide just behind the first pair of wings. And they work to help really give that very agile flight. So they're really rather specialised in the way they can fly. If you get really close, perhaps you manage to take a photograph on your phone or something and can zoom in, then you might spot that they have some interesting veins across their wings. And they have an extra central vein to other insects called a vena spuria. And that is something that, like I say, you'd have to look in close detail, but it does help distinguish them from some of the other types of fly. Also, just something to have a look for, flies on the whole tend to have larger eyes than bees and wasps. And in fact, the male hoverflies have eyes that are so large, they actually meet in the centre of the head. So that's a way to tell your males and females apart. But yeah, I would say first thing to look for is definitely that really typical hovering flight pattern.
And you've indicated there that there's quite a few types of hoverflies. How many types are there in the UK? Can you just give us the names of a few? Because they're rather good, aren't they?
We don't realise just how diverse some of our insects are. And the hoverflies are a really good example of a group where actually we, you know, kind of lump them all together. But they're really very different. We have going on for at least 280 different species of hoverfly in the UK. And in gardens, you're going to see a good number of them, especially as the weather starts to warm up. But as we get into late spring and summer, they're going to be really quite present in the garden. And it's really fab to look out for some of the key ones that you might spy in gardens. One of them's called a marmalade hoverfly. So what a wonderful name. It's got this fantastic sort of orange and black patterning across its abdomen. And this is a very common hoverfly that you get on a whole range of garden flowers, particularly nice open flowers that they can easily land on. And the numbers in the summer can sometimes be boosted by literally sort of thousands of them, because it is a type of hoverfly that can migrate from across other parts of Europe into our UK shores. Then there's one called the Batman hoverfly. So this literally has the symbol of Batman himself in its pattern on its body. So that's a really great one, especially if you've got kids and want to have a little closer look at to see what you can find in terms of your insects. So those are great ones. There's another one that's one of my favourites called the footballer. And this time it looks like it's wearing a striped jersey, the stripes sort of going in parallel up and down the body. So that's another great one. But I also have a bit of a soft spot for some of the bumblebee lookalike hoverflies. Actually, instead of being that sort of mimic of a wasp where they can be quite shiny and not very hairy, instead the bumblebee mimic ones are really quite furry. They're quite cute. If we can call an insect cute. So yeah, there's a whole range of them. Some come with really narrow bodies, almost pencil thin bodies. Others are quite broad. Probably the biggest one is our hoverfly hornet mimic, and that can get up to about 2 centimetres. So that's really quite stunning if you see that. So yeah, don't be fooled if you think at first, oh, is that a wasp or a hornet? You know, it looks quite big. Actually, it could be a hoverfly.
Well, they are obviously masters of disguise there, and what absolutely brilliant names for them as well. I just wondered, I've seen the name dronefly recently. Is a dronefly a hoverfly, or hoverfly a dronefly? What's the relationship there?
Yeah, this is the thing about all these wonderful names, isn't it? It's not always easy to know what we're talking about. So a dronefly is indeed a type of hoverfly, and it's one that's a mimic of honeybees. So this can even be found on the same plant when you've got honeybees present as well. And I have to say, it takes quite a trained eye to be able to tell the difference. But some of those things, like the large eye features, the fact that a lot of these flies have shorter antennae than perhaps some of their bee counterparts. But yeah, the dronefly is one which is a real win for the gardener. And this is because it's got not just an interesting sort of adult stage, which, like I say, is this lovely honeybee mimic, but actually at the larval stage, it's got a rather fascinating story, because after the larvae hatches out from the egg, the larvae is an aquatic form. Now, this is something that not all larvae of hoverflies have, but some species have adapted really to existence in small, perhaps rot holes in trees. If you've ever, you know, sort of peered into the dark interior of an aging tree, and you might find that there's a little bit of water in the hollow there. And these are the perfect little pockets in nature that have become essentially a nursery for some types of hoverfly larvae. And this larvae, because it needs to be able to breathe whilst being underwater, has developed this really long breathing tube, and it almost looked like a long tail, which gives rise to its common name of rat-tailed larvae, or rat-tailed maggot, which I think is a bit unfortunate, but actually it does give you this wonderful idea of just how different the larvae are from the adult that you've got.
Wow, it makes me feel that the rather unkempt tiny little pond that I have at the bottom of my garden that's full of leaves might actually be appreciated by somebody, because it's a bit of a messy hole, but rot hole would be a great name for it. I shall have to have a look and see if there's any of those larvae in there. So I said in the introduction that hoverflies, like bees, are important pollinators, but exactly how important are they, and what are the other things that they do that are so good for us?
Yeah, so hoverflies are a very diverse group and do all sorts of important services in the garden. Many of the adults are excellent pollinators. They visit different garden flowers, and in so doing, transfer pollen and help things like, if you've got any blackberries, for example, and they'll be visiting one flower after another and helping to make sure you've got a nice juicy crop of those. So that's a super important part of what hoverflies do. And in fact, one study suggested that they visit over half of our global food crops. So that, we think of bees as being a really important pollinator, but actually we often overlook the important role hoverflies do. Then, as we've already touched on, hoverflies have such a diverse life cycle. Some of them, like the rat-tail maggot, help to break down organic matter that is rotting. So that's a very important sort of recycling service that they're doing for us. Then we've got some which, what I think of as a real gardener's friend, ones that you would really want to be encouraging into a garden. That's because their larvae are predatory and they feed on aphids and other small insects that we might not be wanting to have on our garden plants. So yes, probably a good half or so of the hoverflies, they have this predatory role. And so they're really sort of helping make sure we've got a nice balance in a garden, that we've got a mixture of both the aphids, but also the things that feed on them. And if you just hold off with things like sprays in the garden, you actually find you've got a whole army of natural predators that can kick in, everything from sort of ladybirds through to, of course, hoverflies. So good reasons for gardeners to be encouraging them. And they do need that encouragement, because actually there are some rather alarming statistics about the trends for hoverflies. One study found that there's a 44% decline of hoverfly distribution in the UK in about a 40-year period. And that's really quite worrying. Like many other insects, they have been affected by a whole range of drivers, things like pressure on habitats, how we grow our food crops, the amount of pesticides that we might use in the wider environment, things like climate change. There are a lot of reasons to actually make space in your garden for hoverflies. Not only do they do a good job, but they need your help as well.
So if we, well, I mean, frankly, why wouldn't we want to help them, given that all the amazing things that they can do for us, whether it's for farmers producing our food or whether it's in our gardens helping us pollinate the flowers and the crops that we've got there, but also, as you say, dealing naturally with pests as well. What can we do to help them? What kind of flowers do they particularly like?
Okay, so I think there are lots of different flowers that hoverflies will visit. But one feature to look out for are flowers that have a very open structure where you can see the pollen in the centre maybe. And that means that they can easily land on those flowers and access them, because many hoverflies don't have particularly long tongues, unlike something like a butterfly or some of the bumblebees. So you're looking for nice open flowers. And that could include things in the daisy family. So it might be oxeye daisy. It might be asters, might be marigolds. Make sure you get the single flowered forms so that they can easily get to rewards in the centre. But those are good examples. And so too are many of the herbs that have very flat and open flowers. So things like fennel, marjoram, even wild carrot. But these are a good range of flowers to have. It's also good to have a good backdrop of woodier plants in the garden, because not only the flowers might be visited by the adult hoverflies, but it could be where they're going to choose a nice spot to lay their eggs as well. So, yeah, it's good to have a range of structure of plants in your garden.
Now, you mentioned that some of the hoverflies, their larval stage likes these rot holes, but you've got a better name for the things that we can create to replace rot holes. Hoverfly lagoons. So if we want to recreate a rot hole as a hoverfly lagoon, how do we do that?
Yeah, so this is a wonderful little activity that you can do just on a weekend or with your kids. All you need is a watertight container. This might be a plant pot, it might be an old plastic container, something like that. So you want it to be able to hold water on the whole, because we're creating that lagoony feature. And then once you've got it, if it is a container which already has some holes in the bottom, maybe just sit it on a saucer so that it can keep the water in. What you do once you've got your container is then get around your garden with a bag or a trug and just gather a few materials you'd normally be thinking about perhaps putting on the compost heap, but instead we're going to put them in our container. So you'll want a nice mix of rotting leaves maybe, or just leaves that have fallen down perhaps over the winter that are on your flower beds. Gather those up. If you've got a few twigs as well, collect those. And then what you'll do is you want to pack these leaves and rotting material into your container. give them a good push down. And then if you've got some rainwater is the ideal. So if you've got a water butt, or perhaps you've had some containers left out and you've got a bit of rainwater that you can use. If not, you can use tap water. And then once you've packed them right up to just below the rim of your container, plunge a few of those sticks in as well so that they sort of poke out over the top. And then fill up to the brim with your rainwater. And what that will do is really recreate that rock hole environment. And you can be rather surprised as to how quickly they can be found by the types of hoverfly that will lay their eggs. So try not to let it dry out. Keep it topped up with extra rainwater if you need. And then keep an eye on it through the summer because, yeah, you might start to spot something wiggling just below the surface. So this is a great little activity and something that anybody can do.
So, Helen, are hoverflies out in our gardens now, and where are we best to look for them?
Oh, they're definitely active at the moment. As soon as you get a sunny day, I can promise you they'll definitely be out. A good spot to see them is maybe a warm south-facing fence panel or some stone paving or something like that where the sun has got on it, because they do quite like to bask as well as visit your flowers. Their numbers will start to increase as we get through April and into May, and probably peak in June time. And don't be afraid to maybe just sit still for a bit, because it's surprising how much that sort of hovering flight will catch your eye and make you think, aha, I know what insect that is.
Helen, thank you so much for telling us about that.
You're welcome.
I was talking there to Royal Horticultural Society's Senior Wildlife Specialist, Helen Bostock. And for a free BA Hoverfly Hero guide to identify which hoverflies are visiting your garden or outdoor space, and to find out more about how you can help them thrive, go to the Wild About Gardens website, which has been created by a collaboration of the Wildlife Trust and the Royal Horticultural Society. And I'll put the link that you need into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Now, if you'd like to get in touch, you can email amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Facebook and on X. Next week, we're going to be hearing more about how you can help hoverflies, this time by joining in with some crucial citizen science that you don't even need to have a garden for. Until then, thank you for listening.